conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Nice job, Tommy Stark. He has Dana morphing into Bill O'Brien. It's not my job to do that. Okay, stop.
Tommy Stark's pretty good at this.
Yeah, Tommy Stark does.
Look at the Cowboy fans are so, man, I'm sorry we gave you guys anal fissures so bad today. What? When? Are you gonna? Here, the Cowboys, it was a horrific game.
It was, and then it was awful to watch.
The second half, the teams came back, scored some. Cooper Rush, who has a pop gun arm, but is a brilliant, brilliant football player, did a nice little
job. Honestly, I'm not sure they're not better off with Cooper Rush.
Hey, you know, a pat on the head. What's too late? You gave Zach almost $40 million a year. So, oh, well, too bad, so sad. Kyler Murray, you get your $40 million. Everyone gets their $40 million. Don't tell me about backup quarterbacks. You're in. Cooper Rush is out.
Oh, no question.
Cooper Rush is out. You're in. You're better off with Dak.
If they win every game, you beat the Giants. The Giants are who we thought they were.
Yeah.
If they win every game now, though, I'll cheer for upheaval where Cowboy fans say,
we don't want Dak, we want Cooper Rush. And then other people say, y'all just want Cooper Rush because he's white. And Cooper Rush is the guy, and he's the game manager, and good Dak is it. Yeah. If it's going to cause infighting and more Cowboy fans to fight each other like Dodgers fans to fight each other, 100%.
You know, when Dak went down, it was funny. We were at the Golden Nugget. When Dak went down and Cooper Rush came in, I was like, man, he's not like a regular backup quarterback. He has such command of the offense. He was moving. And like, a lot of guys would be deer in the headlights or, you know, just trying to catch their breath or whatever. Dude came in. He was moving everybody around. He actually has a great command.
He's legitimately brilliant. He was in college. He was known for that. He's legitimately the smartest player that I ever studied. Legitimately. Off the field.
Smarter than Fitzmagic?
I didn't write him.
Oh, you didn't write him.
Yeah, he was years ago. But Cooper Rush.
Just guys you wrote.
Cooper Rush has one of the worst body types you've ever seen. And yet he's just so dumpy and frumpy and doesn't look anything. He looks like maybe a backup quarterback would have looked in maybe, you know, the 80s. And yet, he's really smart and he's accurate. He knows what he needs to do, but he's not super talented, physically talented.
Yeah, right.
Dak is better than him, but I would love. Yeah, you're right.
I'm here for this.
Is it possible to cheer for the Cowboys to win so you create issues?
Yeah, like, mayhem.
I don't know that I'm there yet where I want the Cowboys to win just because it's going to create mayhem. Because what if it doesn't create mayhem and then the Cowboys have a bunch of wins?
Well, I'll tell you this.
Do we get their draft picks too?
There's two guys that are playing, two backups that are playing just one. I thought Jacoby Brissett on Thursday night was awesome. The ball that he was throwing, you know, our scouting report from Dell, because he's jealous because Brissett played at Florida. You know how Dell is.
Brissett was NC State.
He played at Florida, too.
Did he start at Florida?
Yeah, he started.
At the beginning?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe he must have transferred from there to NC State.
So he was, Jacoby Brissett was, I thought he was awesome. And he's been, let's see, College Stats, Sports Reference. Yeah, he started 2 years at Florida. And then
oh my God, that's why. I do not even remember his Florida time.
Yeah, I don't remember his North Carolina State time.
He missed all of 13. Oh, yeah, that's when you used to have to sit out a year.
Yeah. So I thought he was wonderful. I think Cooper Rush, what a command and how he's leading the team. And then we got Davis. I've never been with the way U of H is playing and the way that Davis Mills is playing. There was so much expectation. I had huge expectations for Davis Mills. I had huge expectations for this University of Houston team because of what I saw with my human eyes last year.
Mm-hmm.
And both have regressed. Both have regressed. And that's why this season is so frustrating in this city. I think U of H will turn it around. And I got to believe, and I know I'm stupid, I got to believe Davis Mills is going to turn it around. I got to believe that he'll actually lead a fourth quarter drive for a touchdown at some point this season. I'm not asking for much. How about 3 points in the fourth quarter? I know that's it's only 15 minutes, and it's very rare that people do. They put up any points in the fourth quarter. I realize that. But I think at some point, Davis Mills is actually going to nut up and not suck and not be so scared in the fourth quarter and throw such horrific passes in the fourth quarter.
Well, so here's the point where, like, I just don't do this. And this is what gets frustrating about sports talk and just in general, just being a sports fan, is I don't have an agenda against or for a player. I just don't, either Davis Mills is going to be the guy or he's not. My draft write-up on him is that he was more of a backup type guy to a low-end replaceable starter. And I think that's who he's. I think that's who he is right now. With that said, I'd love for him to be the guy. And so, if he plays well, he hasn't played well up to this point. But if he plays well, I'm able to get off. You know, to me, I'm able to switch and go for he's playing poorly to whatever the truth is, just to be accurate. And if he does do that, there's going to be fans here now who have already cast their lot as they're the Davis Mills is not the guy. Right? This is who I am. I'm a Davis Mills is not the guy. Fan. And even if he does well, they're like, well, I already put myself in the Davis Mills is not the guy camp. I'm not getting out of this. Like, I want to be right on this thing. I've already argued with my friends about it. I don't want to be wrong.
Right.
So now I need Davis Mills to start being bad. And then you subconsciously start cheering against Davis Mills, and that means you're cheering against the Texans. It's a terrible place to be where you want your guys to actively fail so you can be right in an argument with your fans or an argument on Twitter. I mean, and that's where I think a lot of fan bases are now, where Davis Mills does have a chance, John, to become better in the fourth quarter. He does.
Yeah.
Davis Mills actually has a chance. Lovie Smith, Pep Hamilton, the offensive line, all these guys have a chance to start to right the ship. The Colts started 0-3 last year and should have been a playoff team, except they got their asses handed to them by Jaguars, which is what the Jaguars do to the Colts. You can start off poorly and play much better after that. It is possible the Texans can do that. Now, my biggest concerns, if we actually had sound today, it would be Lovie Smith admitted that, and it's not RJ's fault, we got a server that's down. It's Lovie Smith admitted, somebody asked about the linebackers, like, yeah, they haven't been good. Like, Lovie admitted, yeah, they haven't been good. A very specific question was asked about linebackers, and Lovie had to admit, yeah, it's not good at our linebacker position. I thought it sucked. I thought their linebacking play was terrible the other day. So even though Davis Mills and the offense, I think, can do things better, Pep Hamilton can get better, I'm not sure that, because there is an ability to get better for the Texans right now on offense.
Well, it's right? Almost impossible to get worse.
You can get better. They can get better. I'm not sure there is an ability for the Texans linebacker front seven to be a good defense. They can play better, but I think they are
limited.
Yeah, they're physically limited and skill limited when it comes to being able to stop the run. I think, unfortunately, that's just a reality. So how do you cope with that? Bend but don't break, which you've actually done in three games. The defense has been bend but don't break, John. The Bears scored 23. They got their last three. I could try to silver lining things and say, well, the Texans could have had a touchdown if that ball, you know, was caught in the end zone and it turned into an interception. You could try to find the positives. I do think the offense can play better. I do think they will play better. I do think they'll win some games in the fourth quarter this year. I think that's going to happen. I don't really care as much about all that as I want to find out, is Davis Mills a dude? Right now, he's not. Can he get it together and become a dude? Yeah, he could still do that. Do I think it's going to happen? I would put that at about a 30% chance. I give him about a 30% chance of becoming a dude that you feel like, yeah, I feel confident he's our starter of the future. I think that's as good as you can hope for right now is 30%.
Okay. I'm so sick of Embrace the Suck, though. I'm so sick of it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. They've been suck enough, long enough. It's time to stop the suck. Yeah. Okay. Embrace the Suck? No. It's stop the suck. And starts now. It starts this week. Yeah, I bet on them. I bet on this team, and I'm stupid for it. But I'm still. I don't want. I'm done with Embrace the Suck. You guys can. Oh, we need that top pick again. No, no, we don't. We need to start playing better football. We need to start being a better organization. We need to start being a winning team. We need to start learning to win. We don't need a top pick. We don't have to have the number one pick every flipping year, okay? A top three pick every year. What you need is to start playing better football, building a better culture here, because it sucks. And it starts at the top. And I you know what? I don't know that I disagree so much. I see so many times it's not going to start. It's not going to start until he sells this team. And you know what? You may be right. You may be right. Because all businesses start at the top. Wonderful business. It's how rare is it that you have so much incompetence at the top and you're good at anything?
It's pretty rare.
It's rare.
And if it happens, it's short term. Right. It's not sustainable.
The incompetence.
It'll happen sometime, but it's not sustainable.
The top incompetence at the top of this organization is palpable. And we just can't. It's got to change. It's got to change. He ain't selling the team, so I don't know if we're just going to live with this. And this is how it's going to be forever. But I'm done with Embrace the Suck. No, you can do. I heard Jeremy and Joel. No, you guys. This is the right thing. Lose these. No, it's not the right thing. It sucks. I'm tired of sucking. Okay, we had that at some point. The Astros. It was over. You stopped sucking, and now you're good. It's time. It's time for the Texans to start to turn this thing around. To start with the Scott Feldman era, where you are getting to, or all of a sudden, we were done with 100 loss seasons. Now we start to win. Now we start to look good. And by 2015, we're in the playoffs. That we're asking, Lamont asked, he just had a question. Who will win a game first, a regular season game first, the Rockets or the Texans? Are you kidding me? And you know what? I had to think, maybe it will be the Rockets that'll win again first.
Oso says, I hear you guys on Davis Mills' assessment, but we have a real chance of getting someone like Bryce Young at quarterback. By the way, he's like a $180. I'm up for whatever it takes to get someone that skilled. I'm up for whatever it takes to get someone that skilled. Here's what it takes. Just draft him then. What's the concern? What's hard about this? You have two first-round picks. If Davis Mills isn't the guy, if Davis Mills plays really well, then you have a chance to use two first-round picks on other positions and get better. But Davis Mills, obviously, that's only if he plays at a certain level, and he's nowhere near that level right now. It's not – you don't have to – trust me, you don't have to scare yourself and like, I hope we lose every game so Davis Mills isn't quarterback. Nick Caserio's not going to just put a cape on for a third-round draft pick quarterback. His job is to win games. He understands that you got to find the right quarterback. Nick is not stupid. He knows what a good quarterback looks like, and he knows what they don't look like. And he was with an organization, John, that drafted quarterback, by the way, almost every year.
And by the way, the third quarterback, maybe it's Will Levis, might be the best quarterback.
Or Hendon Hooker.
Or Cameron Ward. Or I don't know who, but it might be. You don't know. Was Pat Mahomes the top quarterback taken in his draft? No.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Was he the best? Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't have to get the number one pick to get the best quarterback, period. 818, ESPN.
Look at Zach, Trey there's, Lance,
there's
Justin
no
Fields.
Trevor there's no Trevor Lawrence out there that is hands above.
No, Trevor Lawrence is a special,
yeah, he was
special,
a special
prospect.
Guy.
But they are much better quarterback prospects this year than there were last year.
Absolutely.
Much better.
Absolutely. All right, time for me to talk about. We're talking about from the top on down. And that's how an organization starts. That's how a business starts. That's when you're great. And this is the case with Chastang Ford. It starts at the top with the Chastang family. And the Chastang family has been doing this for 80-plus years in the city of Houston. And they have integrity. And they have a business acumen that is unbelievable. They have built a business that you never heard of before in the city of Houston until, you know, they didn't advertise. But you know who knew about them? Commercial businesses, because they were the number one commercial dealer in the city of Houston. And you know why they were the number one commercial dealer in the city of Houston? Because they do it right every single time. Businesses love them because they give them a great product at a great price and give you great service as well. And that's at the retail side as well. And now you're hearing about them. And everybody who goes to them now understands this, understands that you're going to get that vehicle that you order under MSRP, while other dealerships are adding on, marking up, and killing you as much as they possibly can, gouging you as much as they possibly can. And that's just not not the way they do it at Chastain Ford. Never any add-ons, never any markups. When you order, you're going to get your vehicle at under MSRP. At ChastainFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Well, it looks like Sterling Shepard might have been lost for the year, just running down the field and he collapsed. That was not exactly what you were looking for if you have him on your fantasy team. But he did pick up enough points to win my game, so I don't care. Myles Garrett had got into a car accident. So he says they say nothing is broken as testing continues. But that was kind of scary for Myles Garrett there. What else happened? Did you see the Aaron Rodgers story? Now, we can't play it. Because we've got some computer issues today, but we can't play it. But after the game, Aaron Rodgers was asked. He was asked about winning the game, and they won 14-12. And Tom Brady had a 2-point conversion from the 7-yard line that they missed on. And apparently, right before that, Aaron Rodgers went up to Matt LaFleur, and he told him something. And it helped the defense somehow, some way. And Aaron Rodgers alluded to the fact that something on the Jumbotron tipped him off to this. And he said, you know, maybe they shouldn't put stuff on the Jumbotron, especially at home. What stuff that they do put up. And right now, the Bucs are looking into it. Like, what was on the Jumbotron?
Is it something that the Bucs put up that helped the Packers defense?
That Aaron Rodgers saw, he said, and he conveyed that to Matt LaFleur and helped their defense.
You know, football guys are on a different level with what they can see. You see it just listening to Tony Romo talk, for example. Even guys like Mark Sanchez sometimes, the things that they see from a personnel grouping, from a split, wide receiver splits, you know, it's amazing. When you hear a really sharp football person talk, you learn so much almost every broadcast. And so they may see it could have been just a personnel grouping that they were able to see in advance. I don't know. I have no idea what it could have been.
I have no idea. He wouldn't tell what it was.
And usually, why would he tell if that's a tell that they can use in the
future? Yeah, right.
Why would you tell other than Aaron Rodgers probably thinks, we're not going to be going to play at Tampa Bay. I won't be in the league anymore by the time we play at Tampa Bay again next time, unless you play in the postseason, actually.
Right.
So why would you be giving something up? That's what doesn't make sense to me. You could play there in the postseason. Why would you want to give any information up like that?
I'll tell you this. I think this Brady thing is catching up to the Bucks.
Yeah, I. It's not a good thing that he's off during the week, especially if things are not going to be fluid and flowing. It's not ideal. Tom kind of screwed the pooch on this deal. He came back, thought you know what, you better make sure your wife is on board or you don't retire.
Or don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't come back. Right? I mean, they just don't look the same.
It's not good
now,
for
their
the
offensive
team
line is terrible. So, right?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, their offensive. Their offensive line hasn't been horrific up to this point, but they're not great. Mike Evans didn't play last game. That hurts. You do have issues up front, but you're going to have those all year long. And then Tom just has some games where he just doesn't play well.
Mm-mm.
Like, we act like he's this super god all the time, but the fact is Tom Brady has certain matchups where it just isn't good for him, and he has certain games where he just doesn't look like he's going to be able to get it done. I think he needs things to be really good around him. You know, something to keep an eye on, John, you know, he wins a couple games, everything's great. You know, beats the Cowboys, everything's great. We still have to see him play without Gronk. Like, I think all he needs is a slot receiver. I don't know that it has to be Gronk, but he's historically done much worse when Gronk is out.
Cole Beasley's there for.
So, yeah. I mean, we'll see. Russell Gage had 11 catches the other day. 11 catches. We'll see what happens now with Tom Brady with no Gronk. What does the long term look like? Because in the short term, everyone thought, oh, same old Tom, same old Patriot, same old Bucks. Everything's going to be fine. Maybe it's not going to be fine because they looked terrible on offense the other day. Bad. So, I mean, you know, not incompetent. Well, yeah, they look Texan-y, only with less fear at the head coach
position. Well, they did. I think they scored late, though, so that refutes what you just said.
Yeah, that's true. They were able to score in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so that's that.
I would have punted at half at midfield if I were them, with under 2 minutes to go. Like,
what's the sense?
Yeah, just punt. What is?
We'd rather lose Texans, by three than 10.
The Texans nihilists. What's the point anyway? Like, just a bunch of existentialists. Lovie Smith. He and Pep Hamilton coach games like it's Pep, you've got Damian Pierce. This guy's a freight train. You got 1 yard to gain. What's the point anyway?
Put in Burkhead.
We'll just throw it. Who cares? It doesn't matter anymore anyway.
Put in Burkhead.
Nothing really matters in this life. Well, we can get a first down, though. We can get a first down, though. I'd rather punt and tie than fail and lose. Okay, Bartleby, the head coach. God.
Horrible.
Just a bunch of hope we don't lose, guys. How about playing to win?
How about Tom? Let's get him in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to chime in on that topic y'all were talking about with these quarterbacks that are calling these games. I mean, did you watch the Monday night with the Mannings last night? I mean, Peyton was calling every single play. It was unbelievable.
I was watching. I didn't see. I watched some of it. I saw it in the fourth quarter. I saw the Manning cast. I didn't see him calling the plays, though. Well, he is so smart, though. I mean.
Oh, my God. It's next level. I mean, I'm a 51-year-old guy, and I think I know a little bit about football. I've been listening to you guys since 1998. I love Granato. You're the best. Zerline, your takes on football and your knowledge of the game. I actually hung out with your old man when I worked a couple sideline games with the Steelers back when he was working for the Steelers. I got to talk to your dad because we had to get there 5 hours before kickoff to set up for the game. I've always appreciated you guys and your knowledge, but even the Dan Orlovsky guy, I'm not a big fan, but he pinpointed Matt Rhule. It's an obvious RPO when McCaffrey is 1 yard behind the quarterback.
Yeah.
It's an obvious pass when they're parallel with each other. I mean, it's just
the way
they pick that stuff out.
You find that stuff, you pick it up. Do you know when I had thanks for the call, Tom. Do you know that – no, you learned so much from – especially quarterbacks, it seems like. Although, I will say that Greg Olsen comes up with some really good stuff too. Do you know when I was a kid watching – the Buffalo Bills were, I was five at the time, either 4 or 5 years old. I remember this. And I told my dad I could tell when it was going to be a run or pass, and he thought this was the most incredible thing of all time. I remember him asking, how do you know that's going to be a pass? How do you know that's going to be a run? And I could tell because they used to run a lot of split backfield. You remember back in the day, the split backfield. Mm-hmm. And when I picked this up when I was five, when they aligned wider, it was going to be a pass play. When it was a little bit tighter, it was going to be a run play. That's how I was able to pick that up. And it was in a particular game, so I don't know if it was all the. I just remember one game I was telling them, this is going to be a pass, and it was a pass. And then I kept doing it throughout the game. It was, I think, Dolphins-Bills. And to this day, if you look at certain alignments with the depth of running backs, a deeper running back's almost always a run play. Almost always going to be a downhill running play. If you see the alignment, especially the Titans, 9 yards deep. If you see Derrick Henry 8 yards deep, a lot of times it's play action. So you can still see that stuff if you just kind of pay attention to things. You'll just notice if you watch enough games, you'll notice that something looks off about the, especially running back to quarterback. That really can change. Well, with Derrick Henry, I guess when they're in single setback, it's more like six. When it's pistol, it's more like nine. But yeah, it's the other day. I don't know who I was watching. I was watching Washington and Philadelphia, And he started talking about seven-step drops. Well, no one runs seven-step drops anymore. I think it was Mark Sanchez. But the problem was, when you're catching it out of a gun and then you're dropping back, you're like seven-step drop. Like, yeah. You're making a guy like Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz, you have to – I would rather have Davis Mills than Carson Wentz.
Yes, me too.
You know why? Because Carson Wentz, you know – knows more. Like Davis Mills, I can get away from Davis Mills tomorrow. This is,
well, everybody's
hard.
Getting away from Carson Wentz though, so it's not hard.
Yeah, but you have hope that he's actually the guy. You remember when he was
not
a better
anymore.
Player.
Not
go
anymore.
look at
right.
2019
right.
Carson Wentz. See what
no,
you
he
think.
He was good.
Of,
he was really good. 2000. Yeah.
Like Carson Wentz has been good before.
Did you
Davis
see?
Mills has never been good before, so it's not hard. What, you can't get away from the Charger game from last year?
Right. Did you see, speaking of Mark Sanchez, did you see what he posted? After the butt punt, the Dolphins butt punt, did you see? You saw the Dolphins butt punt in the end zone, in their own end zone, and it was
sweating
a safety.
That whole game.
Yeah, Mark Sanchez posted, "Stay out of my lane, bro." On a butt punt.
Do you know there was another butt fumble? It's funny that they mentioned that there was a butt fumble this week with Dalvin Cook, and no one's mentioning it. I don't know why no one's mentioning it. Dalvin Cook ran into someone's butt.
And fumbled. Oh,
no
that's, one, oh, yes, I saw
no
that.
No one's mentioned it. Have you
yes,
seen it?
No.
Everyone's talking about the punt, but, dude, Dalvin Cook literally ran into somebody who fumbled.
Wow, he's in Sanchez's lane.
Yeah.
Get out of the lane. Dalvin Cook, boy, there's been some disappointing running back.
Boy, the running backs, Austin Eckler, Dalvin Cook, a lot of Jonathan Taylor right now, a lot of them.
The Rams he's been the Rams running back up. Akers.
Oh
Cam, my God.
I don't even
want to
talk
about
Cam Akers is a backup. It
he's
doesn't even
awful.
Matter.
832 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time for me to talk about enlarged prostates. That's not nice. A subject really that's great, but here's the deal is if you have one, you need to take care of it because if you have an enlarged prostate, then you are going to have real issues with urinary tract infections, kidney problems, bladder problems, all of these things. If you're getting up in the middle of the night a bunch, if you can't start when you want to pee, if you can't stop, you don't feel like you're emptying your bladder, there's a chance that you have an enlarged prostate. If you have ED, there's a chance you have. And how about this? Dr. Manavese says 100% of her patients with erectile dysfunction that have come to Dr. Manavese, and she has used her procedure, her BPH procedure, they have complete resolution of ED. The procedure is an IV. You get an ultrasound, you get an MRI, and then you get an IV. You want to talk about the best procedure ever to heal something in your body? This is it. Do not get surgery if you have an enlarged prostate. You need to see Dr. Manavese, period, exclamation point. This is the best way to do it. It's basically a long lunch, about 45 minutes, and you're cured with no pain. All you got to do is go to 975prostate.com, 975prostate.com.
We'll take a short break.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We got a meeting today. I'm looking forward. RJ, you looking forward to it? Yeah. Look, he's like, yeah. Got a meeting with Jason today. It's going to be awesome. I hope it lasts a long time.
I got an advertiser meeting at 11, so it can't last long.
No, it's going to last. No, I'm going to drag that on and on and on.
Hey, listen, guys, I got to go, but you guys have fun with your meeting.
Jason, what do you think we can do? Let's sit down and write down all the things that we can do better, okay? I'm going to drag it on and on. 837 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, we got tickets, a pair of tickets to go see the U of H Tulane game. And let's do this at exactly 8:45. Exactly 8:45. The first caller, RJ. How about that? First at 8 exactly. Now it's got to be exactly. If somebody jumps the gun, you don't take their call. If they jump the gun, but if it's exactly 8:45, first caller going to get a pair of tickets to the University of Houston versus Tulane game, celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month. It's the blackout game. Wear black. Come early. Be loud. Wear black. You've got tailgating. Oh, we're going to be out there tailgating. Tailgating starts at 2. The game's at 6. Cougar Walk, 3:45. You got all kinds of great stuff going on. So if you want tickets to it, if you don't win these, go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS. We're going to be out there Friday night. That's going to be fun. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you are more than welcome to do that. 713-780-3776.
By the way, you're not a dog guy, so this won't matter to you. RJ, you a dog guy or a don't care guy, cat guy?
More of a cat guy. Okay. I like dogs too.
Okay. This vet in London or in England somewhere, he had a list of five. He did a TikTok video. So here's five dogs I would never want to own. And so it went viral. The five dogs, Chow Chow, which I've heard are mean dogs. Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, which is surprising to me but he said it's because they have heart issues and their last days are spent like struggling to breathe and it's pretty sad. Dachshund.
It's a little hot dog, right?
Yeah.
What's going on with a little hot dog?
Oh.
But they can't do anything with them. It's not like they go fetch or they just walk.
Yeah, they can go fetch.
They just waddle around. They, no, don't
they
do
can
nothing.
Run and go fetch. They always get fat. Like dachshunds. Yeah. Dachshunds invariably are going to be like, man, I'm eating.
You mean like people? Okay.
Well, dachshunds are like, they're just like people. Us. Yeah. Sharpeys, not supposed to be nice also. They're the ones who look like Shane Battier's head.
Yeah.
And then any flat-faced breed dog, the bulldogs, the pugs, because they've been bred so poorly. That because that's supposed to be a sign of, you know, of that's what the kennel wanted, the breed, the AKC or whatever was this flat. So they're bred to have health issues, basically breathing issues where they don't have the fully formed nasal cavities where they struggle to breathe. So those would be his five that he would, that he said he would not own.
I would not own a pit bull.
I wouldn't either. Y'all can tell me it's always the owner and all this stuff. Just
no.
I've seen too many stories just this year, just from my own neighborhood or that stupid next door, which is basically a fear factor. The entire thing is the scariest thing ever. But I've read like two cats and two dogs that have been killed by roaming pit bulls, like double pit bulls that just have attacked and killed. And I'm like, I'm out on that. I don't want to take any chances.
Well,
no thanks. My son has a pit bull, and it's the nicest pit bull in the world.
Oh, yeah?
It's just for me. I've just seen too many stories that have me too nervous. I get nervous around pit bulls too.
Yeah, no, I don't.
No,
want...
he's friendly. Don't worry about it.
I
remember seeing a story like this is the nicest dog ever, and we never thought this would ever happen. Like I'm out on it. I mean, I'm sure yours is really nice, and I'm sure it's the owners and all that. I just know that they can snap, and if they do snap. Their jaws are strong as hell.
Yeah, I don't want a pit bull.
You can save it. I know pit bulls are great. I know you're going to tell me it's the owners. It's how they're actually the nicest. You can well actually. I'm just telling you. I'm just too nervous. Like German shepherds, I don't even see German shepherds anymore.
So do you want this dog? I've got a dog for you, Lance. Maybe you would like.
I've got two dogs, but they're smaller dogs.
Oh, you do?
I used to not be a small dog guy, but
I'm not sure. Good. Amanda Gamo, who's 51, she lives in England. She was taking an afternoon nap, and the dog got up and pooped in her mouth. And she's been hospital.
Whoa!
She spent 3 days in the hospital. I was having my afternoon nap with Belle, like I always do, when I suddenly felt something squirt in my mouth. It was disgusting, and I was hurling violently for hours.
You would not have told that story.
The taste out of my mouth. The cramps got worse and worse until I could feel them all over my body, even in my legs. I was so dehydrated from being sick and having diarrhea that my kidneys had shriveled to half their size. I was kept in the hospital for 3 days till they flushed the infection through a drip. My discharge note said that I'd suffered a gastrointestinal infection caused by my dog defecating in my mouth.
I can promise you. Okay, yeah. See, this is what I try to tell my kids. You need to go do some things. I tell Alec this because Alec is a kind of a homebody. And I'm happy that he's going and doing things at college. He's not a drinker. He's not a – well, of course, he wouldn't until he's legal at 21, Marty. But
well, his roommate, though, has all that beer and
yeah,
vodka.
He's actually friends with that roommate now, by the way. Yeah, we haven't
guess
told
what's
Marty
happening.
Yet.
Guess what's happening, Marty.
No, he hates taste. He hates – he still can't even eat, like, rice tastes
You know what?
Bad to him.
Watch. Vodka and limeade. Watch.
Now, that's the tricky one is you can – yeah, I like how everyone drinks White Claws and Trulies, but you're like, I would never drink a wine cooler. I don't even know if they make wine coolers anywhere. Wine coolers? Can I have the Truly or the White Claw, please?
See, Yanni never liked beer, and in college, apparently, he drank wine coolers all the time.
Oh, it was.
But
it's your stigma, though.
Yeah, but then everybody was like, oh, here comes Yanni, the wine cooler guy.
Wine cooler's your entry point in if you don't like beer, just like White Zin is your entry point into wine. If you don't like wine, you know, you drink White Zinfandel.
And now he drinks White Claws, which, you know, we make fun of
him. He didn't like the taste of beers.
Well, that's okay.
Why does he not drink like vodka drinks?
He likes Deep Betty's.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that gets you messed up, bro.
Yeah, because it's flavored vodka. You don't know what's happening.
Well, how about one time one of our buddies, he was drinking Deep Betty's and he thought that was just the mixer, so he's putting vodka in his Deep Betty.
Oh, no, I've scooped my wife off the floor before. My wife off the floor with Deep Betty's before. She's off Deep Betty's. She's like, I won't do Deep Betty anymore. You had,
All hands.
Yeah. You had
as drunk as I've ever been. Wow. 844 ESPN. Guys.
Oh, not as drunk as I've ever been, but I was up there in drunkenness. I had a Bud Light seltzer, and this is nothing. There's no alcohol. Boom, 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 boom. Before you know it, I was like, wow, that was drink. I drank those way too fast after I'd had three other drinks.
Yeah, right. Okay, we got you on the other side. Ryan and Michael, we promise you guys are first up right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, a little Simple Seats.
Simple Seats. I met with Mike, the owner of Simple Seats, and business is going great. Did you know that they added the when there are concerts now, not Bad Bunny, but when there are concerts at Minute Maid Park, a lot of times he's going to have tickets. He had concert tickets to the Billy Joel concert. He's got Longhorns, Aggies, Cougars, Dynamo. He fully has Rockets tickets now, which is brand new this year. He has Texans, and he has Astros, and that's the big one, the Astros. Guys, have you made it out to the park with the fellas? Maybe you want to take your family out there before the end of the year, but guys, you got to get out with the fellas, man. You got to go out, have a good time, watch a game, have your beers, kick it like you haven't done very often. Maybe you do it at your fantasy football league. Get out to a game before the end of the season. You've got until the end of the season, and the prices are going to elevate when it comes to playoff tickets. Get out there before the end of the year. Get your friends, get the homies, and get out there and go watch some Astros baseball. Now, once the playoffs hit, it's your only spot. Did you know they are going to be a guaranteed 20% savings on anyone else out there? No one can touch their prices. You can look at every site that you want to. You will not find better prices for playoff tickets than Simple Seats. Go to simpleseats.com, and until the end of the regular season, you can still use promo code Lance10 to get $10 off your first order of $50 or more. This is going to be your spot for the end of the year and, of course, for playoff baseball, simpleseats.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports. Found the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
850 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we said we would get him in right away, so let's do it. Who's first up? Oh, Ryan called first. He's got an NFL question, and Michael, we'll get yours in here. What do you say, Ryan?
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show. Hey, got a quick question for Lance and for John. I'm a big Steelers fan. All my family's from Pittsburgh. They still live out there. So you know how the fan base travels and how intense they get. And there's been a lot of heat on Mitch Trubisky. It's been kind of a dumpster fire watching him and Matt Canada's play calling. And my question to you guys is, when do you pull the trigger to bring in Kenny Pickett? Because it's starting to get pretty intense within the games, within the media, within the local writers and stuff. And their schedule is so brutal over the next five games. That's why I'm a little hesitant. They got Buffalo, Buccaneers, Dolphins, and Eagles, and most of those are away. So I don't think you throw a guy like that into the fire, you know, feed him to the wolves right away. So I just want to hear y'all's input, and if you think, you know, if Mitch looks bad next week, do you just go ahead and throw him in, or do you kind of wait till that tsunami of a schedule passes through, and then it gets lighter with some Colts, Falcons, and Panthers? So
nah, football's hard every Sunday. Doesn't matter. You know, you're not facing the 85 Bears. I mean, yeah, you're facing some good football teams, but there's not either Mitchell, either Kenny Pickett is going to be able to survive, or he's not going to be able to survive. So, no, I got news for you. The Colts are going to have Shaq Leonard back by that point. The Panthers, yeah, the Falcons aren't the best defensive team. The Panthers are fairly competitive. I mean, to me, you put them in and give them some experience. I think the Steelers away.
What are you talking about, Panthers?
He said Carolina down the road.
Down the road. Well, here's the deal, Luz. Jets this week, this Sunday. Bills, Buccaneers, Steelers, Dolphins, Eagles, and Saints.
No, you play football.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why are we treating these guys like veal? Put them in the pen and let them drink milk.
But you don't put a rookie out there right away anyway. I mean, there is some logic to not throwing them to the wolves.
Right. You don't want to put him in until he's ready to play.
Right.
Bottom line. But you don't look at the schedule and say,
well, you don't put him in, though, if he's
a rough stretch.
Suppose he's not ready to play just because Trubisky's playing badly.
Well, if he's not ready to play, then I don't believe in putting in young quarterbacks not ready to play.
Right.
I'm with you. Don't do that. That can have long-term effects. David Carr was not ready to play.
No.
And they had a backup quarterback that gained like 20 pounds. And they said, well, I guess our strategy was to let David sit, but now let's play him. Terrible. Things may not have been different. David did not have the football character from a work ethic standpoint. He needed to be quarterback at that time of his career. And he didn't get it until much later in his career by his own self-admission. But with that said, I mean, you can do a lot of damage to a quarterback who's not ready to play. They may not, you know, Aaron Rodgers got to sit. He's going to go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play. Pat Mahomes got to sit a full year. He's right now currently one of the best quarterbacks in the entire game. There's an advantage to it. But I also think that if a guy is ready to play from a playbook standpoint, it's okay to put him in even if the schedule's a little more challenging, unless he's not mentally tough enough. And then I would tell you that you've got much bigger problems ahead for you if you've got a guy who's not mentally tough, because guess what? It's probably not going to work out anyway. He either has the mental toughness or he doesn't. So if you're worried about him being mentally tough enough to deal with adversity, then you got a problem with the quarterback. If you're worried about, I don't know, this game may be too fast for him, he doesn't identify safeties quickly enough, well, that's a football problem, and you need to wait. You got to wait on that. I'm with you. Guys who aren't ready to dissect defenses and try to play, you know, and try to recognize what defenses are doing, don't put them in. But if you're worried because you think, well, he's just mentally fragile, we don't want him to lose to these teams, these hard teams, because this may break him forever. David Carr actually had those issues, where David Carr got afraid of the pass rush, which was normal when you get sacked 70 times. You know, you shouldn't have put a rookie quarterback in there when you had an offensive line that was going to give up 70 sacks. Of course, you didn't think that was going to be the case with the players you had on that offensive line way back in the day. But if I'm the Steelers and I trust that the quarterback understands football and is ready to recognize defenses, man, play him.
Yep.
I don't care if the schedule's a little tougher. If you don't think he's ready to do football, to do quarterbacking stuff, then don't play him yet. Wait till he is ready for that.
Yeah, I don't know. I might wait till after the Bills no matter what. I mean, I just think that's...
Oh, no, I'd probably wait until after the Bills.
After the Bills. Michael, what's up, Michael?
What's up, dude? Hey, Lance, I wanted to ask you, how do you think Kenyon Green is doing? I didn't really watch the game on Sunday because I had to watch it from my phone, but I also wanted to ask you, I listened to like a podcast and they were talking about Texans cap. And did you know they have $60 million this year
in dead
cap from Whitney Merciless and all that
Yes,
you know, whatever.
They have a lot of money that is dead. They're going to have a lot of money available next year.
Yeah, that's what gives me hope for next year. And I wanted to say, like, it almost behooves us to draft a quarterback next year anyways, regardless, because that way we don't have to pay the most expensive position for, like, five more years. Like, you know, regardless, because, you know, Davis Mills, they're probably paying him nothing. Even if we get a first-round quarterback next year, well, you know, his salary is low, you know, for the position for a rookie. Yep. And man, we'll have a bunch of cash to spend on. I mean, because the team still needs so many things. You know, like, I don't know what free agents, like stud free agents, like, I think we could probably get some linemen or something, but, or some defensive tackle, for God's sakes. But I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you got to get better than Roy Lopez in the middle. Roy's a backup. You need to get better than him. Frank, you got to get better than Malik Collins. You got to get three linebackers that are better. One of them maybe was drafted in Christian Harris. Kenyon Green, honestly, I wonder if he's gained a little too much weight, if he's too heavy. He looked a little slow on some crossface stuff that I saw. He didn't look as athletic as I saw in college. I think he's, when he's helmet on helmet, he's moving people around. He's physically strong. I love that. I do wonder, you know, if he's at his best playing weight. So that's something I don't know. Their team nutritionist would know, but there's something to making sure that you have your lean mass the best that you can get it in terms of your, you know, your body composure, your body fat. So that could be something that he has to look at, because if he's a little slower, I thought Titus Howard got too heavy early in his career too. So that's something the Texans might want to take a look at, is getting their offensive line in the best shape possible. You don't want a bunch of guys that aren't in physical conditioning, you know, don't have good physical conditioning, because you're going to get beat by quickness in the NFL. It's just, you have to have guys who have functional quickness and then who have the ability to hold up in the fourth quarter. I don't know how much of these issues in the fourth quarter, I assume, and it feels like most of them have been on your quarterback. But with that said, you know, some of it could be your O-line not holding up as well, because those guys get gassed because they're not in the best shape they need to be in. So, A.J. Cann has been a little just okay.
What did you expect?
He's been better than they've had before. I expected him to be a functional, an average NFL starter. And maybe he's been that. I haven't taken deep dives on him, but I think he's been an average NFL starter.
Yeah, I mean, well.
It's all right. But Kenyon Green, I've seen things that I really like a lot from Kenyon Green. I have. I just think he needs to maybe put some better weight on, maybe trim off in the offseason some of the bad weight. So he's just a step quicker. I think that'll really help.
All right, 713-780-3776. Any questions that you guys have, you're more than welcome to get in. And anything that is bothering you about the sports world or beyond, if your dog took a poop in your mouth, you can get in here and talk about that. Maybe you have some firsthand experience of that as well. 713-780-3776.
I hope not.
Goodness gracious, that's an ugly story. Time to talk about something that's wonderful, and that's Billy. Billy Brown and his people over at Aqueduct Plumbing. I don't know what it is that you have. Do you have plumbing fixture problems? Do you have a water heater problem? Do you want to put in a tankless water heater? Do you need new water filters, drain cleaning, gas piping, new construction? If you're building and you want a plumber, and you're not, maybe you're not sure about the plumber that your contractor is using, or you're a contractor and you want a great plumber, well, you got this. You got leaks. You need repiping. Whatever it is, Aqueduct Plumbing can come to your home, and they will give you a square deal. They're not going to charge you to come, like a lot of plumbers will, $70, $80 just to show up. They may take it off on the bill, but if they don't do any work, you're going to get charged $80. That's not the way they do business at Aqueduct.
You just can't trust a lot of the other guys. I mean, I got murdered before with a plumbing company, and they didn't even do good work. And then I found Aqueduct Plumbing, and they came back and fixed the problem that the other guys did not fix. The prices are so much better. The workmanship is outstanding. They're completely transparent through the process. Great communication. And, you know, for Billy Brown, it's very important that he makes sure and takes care of every customer. But you guys our bench listeners. I mean, you are going to be somebody that he is going to vibe with because he's a big listener as well, and he wants you to be happy. He wants us to be happy, and that ultimately will make them happy. So the work is great, and they can handle anything from the big repiping jobs to the smaller leaky faucet jobs. It really doesn't matter. Make sure that Aqueduct Plumbing Company is the company you call. For more information, go to thebenchplumbing.com, thebenchplumbing.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.